All right.
Well, I am Reggie Nicolay, Reggie RPR, and this is my lovely wife, Nicole Nicolay. AKA Nick Nick. And we're here to talk to you about the evolution of real estate marketing. Mm-hmm. And you might think, because we're social media people, we're going to tell you to get rid of the traditional marketing and move all to social media. But that's not what we're going to do at all. We're going to talk to you about finding out what's been working in your traditional marketing efforts and how to adopt online technologies that incorporate some of those tried and true basic principles.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Did I get that right?
You got that.
So because we're married, you'll probably hear a lot of me starting sentences and, you know,
me finishing them. Ha ha ha. So learning new ways to apply some new strategies and to generate business, to reach potential clients, well, that can be exciting, right? I said that can be exciting.
Yeah.
Woo! That's what I want to hear. Now, clearly, those of you that weren't cheering and jumping on your chairs also know that it's a challenge, particularly with implementation, right?
That's right.
But, if you think of applying new strategies to your existing repertoire, like, say, learning new dance moves, I think you'll find that, yes, it can be awkward at first. But once you get those new moves down, you can be engaging, connecting, and converting fans into clients.
Now, how did I know you were going to work dance into this?
Come on.
All right.
Which brings me to my next point. How many of you have seen that video, The Evolution of Dance? Anyone seen that?
Only a few thousand times at my office because she's always playing it.
Hey, it's a good video. And in the same way that dance has evolved over time, so too has communication, our industry, the way that we do business, right? It's evolved. And so I think in order to really head into the future and talk about some of these new strategies, mixing old with the new and all that good stuff.
We got to go into the past.
We got to go in the past. We got to go back to the future, right?
Let's do it.
So we put together a little demonstration. Because in order to know exactly where we're going to head in the future, we really need to know where we've been. And so we are going to take them back into the future. I'm going to turn this on. And I do want to say, though, before we do this little demonstration here, that if you hear or see something that moves you, by all means, feel free to join in. And with that, I think it's time to go back.
Let's do it.
All right. Starting with the 70s.
Well, you can't tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man. No time to talk.
The 70s were a time of disco. They were a time of staying alive.
Staying alive.
There was a whole lot of jive talking going on, right?
There certainly was.
For businesses, it was all about face-to-face communication. It was all about setting that meeting. But we know what happened. We've heard of the traveling salesman. We've heard about it. We know about that guy on the car lot. The consumer got savvy and found ways to hide and get away.
Avoid that face-to-face,
so
right?
Things evolved. Then came the 80s.
Then came the 80s.
This is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's up tight. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right. On top. It's tricky. It's tricky.
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 It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right. On top. It's tricky.
So, clearly, hip-hop, hip-hop was definitely making things tricky in the dance world. And for businesses, it was getting tricky for them, too.
That's right. I mean, a face-to-face interaction isn't happening. We could always turn to the cold call. Consumers love that. You know, the cold call. That's where we have that long list and we dial them up at dinner time.
They love that when they don't want to talk to you. So
things evolved and we moved on to the 90s.
Ah, the 90s. Now, this is where you want to get your air guitar out, right?
We'll be right back.
Oh, yes, the 90s. Oh, I love the 90s. They brought with us Generation X.
Grunge.
Grunge music. And the invention of the internet.
You know,
if so, wait. So, it really smelled like opportunity, right?
It did. It did. And, you know, if we can't get them on the phone, we can put that same message in their inbox. They're going to love that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they'll love that. So, with a good strategy, email came bad behavior in the form of spam.
We got savvy and we put up spam filters and we started blocking that communication. So, again, things had to evolve.
They really did. Fortunately, around the dawn of 2000, really started coming together for businesses. And you know, it's going to come together for us right here and right now. So, I know that some of you had your coffee. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand up right now. Come on, stand up because...
Let's get it started in here.
Oh, it's time to get it started. Let's put your hands together. Let's wake this place up, all right?
You advanced the slide too quickly, but that's okay.
All right, I did advance the slide too quickly. That's why you shouldn't let me have the clicker.
We'll
you know, we really have to get started. She just got here. It's all right. We're going to dance. It's okay. You can find a seat. Let's find her a seat. Let's get their hands together. All right.
Bam.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I swear I didn't do it.
All right, well, we're going to have to
All right, you can sit
then.
Down. I guess that was enough anyway. It is early, right? I swear I didn't do it.
She's probably blaming that on me.
I am blaming it on you. You should have been holding the clicker. All right. Well, at least I'm not out of breath this time, right? So, just as all these new, exciting dance moves over time evolved to really influence the world of dance, so too has communication evolved and really influenced the way that we market our business, right? We have this huge mashup of great channels to
That's
reach
right.
out.
That's right. I mean, everything from word of mouth to direct cold calls to direct mail. We've got mobile technology. We've got email. We've got YouTube, Flickr, Twitter, Facebook. We got all this stuff.
All this great stuff. All of which are important, some more than others. And it really depends on your goals and your sphere and your success now and in the future. Well, it lies in you. And your ability to understand which channels are going to be best for you to reach your sphere, to reach out to your clients. And then you've got to be there consistently, providing relevant content to be that trusted advisor. Right?
That's exactly right.
So I'm excited because we're gonna get into some of these newer channels. And we are going to meld the old with the new. But I think we should kind of focus on social media for a second and why it's really important to the average real estate agent. Like, why does the average agent really want to invest their time and effort in social media channels?
I mean, really, there's so many reasons. But let's just start with the ability to grow your network and to connect with people on a regular basis,
yeah.
right? To have a channels that actually aren't very expensive, right? They just require your effort and time.
And in the process, you'll develop your web presence online. You'll be able to better maintain relationships.
And let's just face it, traditional marketing alone just isn't cutting it.
It's not going to get the job done. Now, before we get any further, honey, I think you should kind of lay it down. Like, what exactly is social media? What is it? What is it not?
Social media is not the technology. It's not the tools. It's not these fancy websites that we're talking about. It's the people. It's the interactions. That's social media.
Yeah, it's people using
those tools,
those
and
sites,
technologies
tools
and sites.
And, you know, social media affords us a very special awareness, right?
If you haven't heard of the term ambient awareness, this is a big moment for you because this is really what turns social media into a real business tool, one that will provide true ROI. See, every piece of content that we share in its individual form may not have a true purpose, and you may not truly tell you about your network or an individual. But think about all those individual pieces of information in their entirety. They actually paint a picture about the person you're connecting with. They tell you what they like, what they dislike, what's happening in their life. This is an amazing opportunity for you to connect with people like never before. It's called ambient awareness.
And I think what you're touching on, it actually affords us really two opportunities. Yep. Here to really understand our consumer, both in a larger scope, because from using ambient awareness, you can identify what your target consumer needs and wants from you in a larger picture. But then bring it down to a more granular level, you can really understand what that individual client needs and wants from
you.
That's
right. I mean, it's almost like being physically near someone, like you can see them out of the corner of your eye, so you're understanding what's happening in their life.
And I think the coolest thing about ambient awareness is I think of it as a superpower.
It can be used for good.
And it can be used for evil. And I think the best way that we can explain how we're using ambient awareness is through social capital.
An equally important concept is this social capital. It's the idea that we all have a currency online, right? We can make deposits with currency, and we can make withdrawals. Now, let's use an example. We start a new Facebook page. It's empty. And all we do is post listings. Are we asking or giving our network? We're asking. We're making withdrawals from our network, okay?
Wah, wah.
Now then, if we flip that idea upside down and instead we help our network, we answer questions, we inform them, we work with them on new ideas, what's that doing to our social capital?
Cha-ching!
That's exactly right. We're making a deposit. So later, we can ask a favor when it's appropriate. Okay? Now, I mean, I know we're going to talk about this today, but mm-hmm. sharing listings on Facebook isn't bad, right? Or on Twitter?
No, it's not bad, but when we're just blatantly only posting listings and asking people to stop by or check this out, you know, you're asking of your network. If you take a listing and instead frame that listing or how you're busy in your regular workday by sharing a feature of the home, like say the nice kitchen or a feature of the community, the neighborhood, the surrounding neighborhood, a cute little walking path that you check out before an open house or the great park around the corner. That's how you actually can share and contribute to the community rather than take away.
Do you see the difference?
All right, I see it.
I see it.
So getting back to Reggie's point from the beginning, we're here today to really not tell you that you need to drop everything and go social media, because the strategies that you're using, that you have been using, the tried and true traditional strategies of niche and sphere and referral and geographic farming, those are all still alive and well. They're still integral parts our marketing. It's just we're going to change the way that we use these strategies. We're going to change the channels or add to the channels that we might already be using, right?
Sounds easy.
Does it sound easy?
Yeah. I think so.
So let's take a second and look back at traditional marketing, which unfortunately sometimes leaves us feeling like we're juggling because it's missing an important component. We might have been we might have had a static website, we might have had word of mouth or farming or an email campaign. But the problem here is that you don't have a component inserted that actually helps bring these different channels together and makes them work together more effectively and efficiently. So with social media added as a component, you can actually work smarter than harder. So let me give you an example.
This is the hub and spoke idea here.
This is a hub and spoke idea, and what we've done is inserted a blog into the middle. So that's a component that we've added.
I love blogs.
I love it. And here we have an array from off the different spokes. We've got both traditional and new media marketing channels working with our main hub in the middle, which is the blog. And this is why it's so effective. How many of you have answered a question from your client?
Daily.
How many of you?
You get questions all the time, right?
Yeah. So let's say you take that question and you turn it into an article. You write the question down as the title.
That's right.
And you answer the question in text, in an article format, in a blog post, right?
Yep. But did you know a huge percentage of us go to Google and type in a question? It could be a direct match.
Yeah. So you take that article and you put it on your blog. Now the readers of your blog, well, they're happy because you're providing a resource that's helpful to them. Google's happy because you put some fresh content on your website. You get a thumbs up and it's easy to find you. You get some SEO, some search engine love. But now you take that article and you can push it out to some of the other channels. You can push it out to Twitter and get some more eyeballs there and send people back to your blog. You can push it out to Facebook so the sphere and the people that you're connected with there can also have experience that article and get that information. Now you can also take that same article and repurpose it in an email newsletter. You can take that same article and repurpose it in a print piece that you now use for your geographic farm. You can take that same article and use it as a video script. So you do a 1-minute video answering the question. You've now taken that one piece of content and utilized it in several different ways, right?
Yeah, and I'd just like to emphasize one thing you said. I mean, you're okay. Not saying to take the content as it stands in a blog post and literally saturate it everywhere so it's really the same. You said repurpose.
Repurpose. We're not blasting the same thing out over all of these channels because these channels, well, they don't operate in exactly the same way.
They move at different speeds, some video, some micro size.
So, but you can still be smart about what you're sharing and make use of it, right?
That's right.
Okay. So now that we got that down, now we're getting closer here to how we're going to meld the two. But I think there's two important questions that we have to ask ourselves, okay?
Hun, I see four question marks. Isn't that four questions?
No, it's two questions. There's two categories up there.
She's always right.
I am always right. So the first question, is really asking yourself, who are you? Yeah, I know, that sounds like I know who I am. Well, you all possess, each one of you possess your own set of skills, your own knowledge base. You're an expert in your local market, yes, but you have a particular niche that you fulfill, perhaps first-time home buyers or luxury real estate. Whatever that is, you need to really understand how you can share that knowledge base with your network. And so that leads us to our next question, who are your targets? And what you need to do is deliver your knowledge base in a way that's helpful to your targets, right?
That's exactly right.
All right. So it's time to get it started, right? Since I botched up the song. But that's okay. So we're going to get it started. And there's really two important tasks that I want you to take away from today.
Be flexible.
Watch it. Just saying. That works. Okay, thank you. So anyways, as I was saying, you know, really, I think one of the things that happens when you see all these new channels and you hear all these buzzwords, Facebook, Twitter, blogging, you know, that can be kind of overwhelming, right?
Very much so.
So we're going to make it easy on you. We want you to assess what's working for you. So those tried and true traditional strategies. If, you know, geographic, if sphere, referral, you might have a combination of those that you use. But really think about, where did my last 5 transactions come from? You know, what's working for you? And then take note of that, because you're going to use that strategy in one new channel.
Now, you can do more, but we want you to start and make it easy. That's mm-hmm. why one.
So, and yeah, you can build off of that. So let's take a look now at how we're going to take those tried and true traditional strategies and meld them in the new channels of today, starting with one of my favorites.
The blog.
I love blogs.
Big RSS symbol up there.
Why is a blog so important as a channel for?
Well, because it's not a traditional website. I mean, here's the thing. For years, what we did is we had a traditional website that was stockpiled with content that really everyone else had. There wasn't really true relevance to your local market, right? So with a blog, what you get is you get an empty shell that you get to populate with content that's meaningful for your market expertise.
Absolutely. So now we're going to take a look at how you can apply, say, geographic sphere, some of those tried and trues, using a blog. Starting
Sounds
with
good.
geographic marketing. So we're going to talk about geographic marketing. And why don't you start off talking about the Tri-Valley Vine in the back?
I love the Tri-Valley Vine. So this is a gentleman named Adam Golden, okay? And what Adam does is he writes about his community. I mean, we've heard this strategy before. But what he does is he just, as he goes out with his family, his wife and kids, and he either finds a fascinating place to have dinner or meets a business that's just amazing and serves his need or a new park that he's discovered. What he does is he writes about that and he shares it with his blog audience. But what he also does is he takes that back to the particular business owner and shares about how he was proud to have had the experience. And what happens is he's starting to create some social capital, right? Remember what we talked about earlier? So suddenly he's got support from the local business and he's also sharing this insight with his network.
So he's creating great, valuable marketing relationships with local businesses.
That's
and
right.
He's also an information source to his community, to his targets.
That's it.
That's a win-win. I have to say, too, this concept of creating a blog built around a local market, it can work for a city, a region, and even as small enough as just your farm area, as a neighborhood. We have a friend, Chuck Galuli, who lives in San Carlos, and he has a blog called the White Oaks Blog.
Very popular.
And it's an extremely highly engaged blog. Literally tons, tens of, even hundreds of comments.
He has many posts with hundreds of comments.
And that's because he's really entrenched in his local community. He goes to city council meetings. He's a part of, you know, the school site council.
Yeah, he loves to cover those controversial issues, too, to really get people engaged.
Thanks for coming. And hi, Brad.
He loves to call people out.
I love to call people out. If you're late, I gotta say to you. Anyways, yeah, James knows what I'm talking about.
He's also one of our favorites.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing that I love is that if you are passionate, Chuck's lived in his community, in his neighborhood for 20 years, and he's really invested in not only living there, but also, you know, really helping out the community.
That's right.
Okay. So the next type of marketing strategy with the blog we want to talk about is niche marketing. And, you know, you, as we mentioned, you all have a particular knowledge base. So think about sharing that particular niche knowledge base on your blog, on your website, whether it's, you know, luxury or green building or working with women homeowners, or in Marisa's case, it might be modern homes. So she has a particular niche. She blogs about modern home architecture, modern homes found in Portland. She talks about staging, home decor. She also shares her listings. And guess what? When people search for modern homes in Portland, who do you think they find? They find her, because she has positioned herself as the expert. I love that.
It's an important point.
And then last example for a blog that we're going to talk about is sphere marketing. I think this is a little bit more of a challenge, because with sphere marketing, the goal is to create a resource, an ongoing resource. Something that's going to pull your past clients back in again and again and again, which is definitely a challenge, right?
That's right. Now, what I really like about the Ingalls site here is they cover market trends, okay? So that's one of the big things they do on their blog. But what they've done is they've divided their sphere list into the different market areas that they cover. And when they cover trends in that particular area, they email that out to that particular group, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's how they're getting the content out to their sphere.
And then we kind of have an opposite example, a really different mode of operandi, and that's with iCarlsbad. That's Lauren Sand. And what he's doing is, rather than talk about real estate or real estate trends, he talks about his community. So he's trying to pull in all the people that he knows, that he, all of his friends, his local friends, his local family members, and give them a go-to resource on a regular basis. And he shares all about the fun events and things that are happening. And I love that name.
It's a fun name. I think you like it because of iCarly. Our kids are always watching that.
I know, that's true. All right, so Faith, here's a little network, you know?
You know, guys, we think this site just might take off.
They might have something here. You know, the average user does spend about 55 minutes a day
on Facebook. Ooh, I don't feel so bad now.
How many of you have a Facebook account? Turn to your neighbor. Do they have a Facebook account? You got a Facebook account? I think my grandma has a Facebook account.
Actually, I heard this morning that the Queen has a Facebook account.
Yeah, anybody hear that? I love that.
Good timing, Queen.
Good timing. Thank you for doing that today.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting back to sphere marketing, I think one of the amazing things that you can do is, yeah, you create a profile on Facebook, but what happens when you create the the profile. You have the opportunity to connect and friend other people. And I think what happens all too often is that we just kind of haphazardly friend people, right?
I want to get a bumper sticker that says that. That's,
go haphazardly?
Yeah.
Be haphazard, whatever. You,
you
work
make
on
words
that.
Up.
So what you want to do, though, and I think what's a little bit underutilized, is how you can actually very efficiently connect with your sphere on Facebook by importing your sphere list.
And this is really pretty easy, actually.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to import, though. You could go out one by one and painstakingly invite these folks.
Yeah.
I mean, take some time, but...
You could also have Facebook query your Outlook contacts, even connect via web mail.
I love this because, I mean, I know everyone in this room keeps a very well-populated database, right? Mm-hmm.
Very organized.
But let's just say you haven't been the most organized, but you have been sending emails through your webmail client, right? What you may not know is that those emails are saved in there, and Facebook can actually query those email addresses and pull them out and give you the option to select who you'd like to invite.
Mm-hmm. So there are a number of ways that Facebook makes it easy for you to get connected with the people that you know, the people in your sphere. But you don't want to stop by just connecting. You want to get organized. And that's where lists come in. Has anyone used the list feature in here? A couple of you have.
And there's
not enough
have, people though. Using the list because it takes effort and it's actually a process that you're going to do on a regular basis, right?
It is. So, and let me tell you, the earlier, the sooner you get started creating lists, the better.
That's right.
Trust, take
if
it from
you're just
someone
getting started, create your list today.
So, and it's really easy. You go to the Find Friends or the Friends tab. You could create a list. You literally click on the faces of the people in your network, and you can create up to 100 lists, actually. Not that you need to, but
how
you
many
can,
people can go in a list?
Up to 1,500. But I wouldn't create lists with that many people. Instead, I have about 30 lists, and they span anything from geographic to demographic, and I put really... organized groups, small groups, actually.
Now, can somebody be in more than one list?
They could be in more than one list. And the reason why I do this, and the beauty of the lists, is that when I get into Facebook, maybe I don't want to spend that 55 minutes a day. Maybe I want to spend 20 minutes or 30 minutes every day. And the lists help me get in and get out, so that when I get up with my coffee in the morning, I can get onto Facebook, I can go into my news feed, and I can filter my news feed and pull up, say, a target neighborhood, the neighborhood that I'm farming. And I can focus on just those maybe 25, 30, 50 people that live, that I'm connected with in that neighborhood. And I can easily pull those people out and comment on at least, you know, three people.
So
how much time does that take?
It's very quick. So you can target your engagement.
I can target my engagement. Love it. And the nice thing, too, about lists is if you get them started and you use them readily, it's really easy as you grow your network, because when somebody sends you a friend request and you friend them, yeah, you can accept it, but then you can also choose from the drop-down menu to add that person right into a list.
If you do it this way, it's actually very easy to maintain.
All right, so the next strategy inside Facebook is geographic marketing. And I know a lot of you probably already have a Facebook page. You might have even created, I think a trend in the beginning was to create pages based on, you know, our own persona,
sure.
our own personal brand,
sure.
and that made sense,
sure.
You know, but over time, maybe that's not giving you the engagement that you were hoping for.
Well, because it's all about me versus about you,
yeah.
Right?
So we want to flip that. We want to make it, instead of about me, I'm going to create the page for my community, for my targets. Maybe not everybody in my community, maybe the specific relevant people that I want to connect with on a regular basis. So here we have two examples. These are pages that have been created based on a neighborhood and based on Austin, Texas. And I'm sure a lot of you have probably heard about the 365. We have an all-star, Dale Chumley, who's here.
He's in the room somewhere. I saw him in the very back there.
And you know, but I, you know, that's a lot of work, right, Dale? But, you know, you got to give it to Dale. He's super motivated, and he's totally effective and efficient with it. But I would say, I bet he would say that, you know, you don't need the 365. You don't need the number. It could just be Pleasanton, living in Pleasanton, Santa Monica lifestyle. You know, and you could even take that similar community concept and maybe drill down to even a niche. Maybe you're obsessed with your dog, like I am, and you're looking for the best dog parks in Pleasanton.
So I'm starting to see a theme here. So going back to that hub and spoke idea, so we had the geographic blog, and now we're doing something similar in Facebook.
Yeah.
So we can synergize the two.
Again, they're talking to each other, right?
Now, something recently happened in Facebook that might be valuable for you. If you started a Facebook page and you happen to have under 100 likes, or what we used to call fans, you can actually rename the page now. So if you started off on one path, but you'd like to change that, you have that ability, okay? And you also have one opportunity to change the URL. So you can do that. Now, remember, though, if you want to change the name of the page, you have to be under 100, under 100 likes, I should say. Say fans.
And I have to say, I think there's going to be, and I think it's already happening, a new trend in really connecting and liking the pages that are extremely relevant to us. I think in the beginning, you know, we have a lot of people send us requests, oh, like my page, fan my page, you know, and I did like a lot of them. I liked over 600 of them. You know, because I really did want to make you feel good, and I do like you. That doesn't mean that I need to opt into your information on a regular basis, though. I need to opt into the pages that mean the most to me, that are highly relevant. I can still connect with you as a friend.
Now, there's another challenge, though, too, right? Because Facebook has this limit, what we call it, a friend limit, but it actually involves pages, too, right?
Yeah, you can have up to 5,000 friends. Not that you need 5,000 friends. It's not always about the numbers, right?
This popularity does.
Hey, that doesn't mean it's.
But you ran into an issue, though.
I did run into an issue because I had about a little over 4,000 friends, but I liked a lot of pages because a lot of you were sending me your pages, and I did like them. But from liking so many pages, I capped out. I wasn't able to add friends, and people said, oh, you know, we can't connect with you. I met you, we connected, but now I can't connect with you online because you like so many pages. So now I've pared that down to about 200 pages or 200 likes. So just something to think about. And I have to say, when it comes to the pages, too, I know Dale has, what, 14, 15,000 likes on your page? He's got, yeah, you got a lot. So...
One other thing I'd like to point out as we look at this, that each example uses a different array of media. So we've got photos used with videos, used with text.
Yeah, you interrupted me, actually.
Well, just like home.
So my point, going back to the number of likes, we all want to have a lot of likes on our page. We all would love to have 15,000 people like our page. But that doesn't mean that you can't have a successful page with 1,000 people. Because those 1,000 people may be highly engaged and really view your information as the go-to resource. And you're really targeting, you're getting relevant, you know, with your content and with the people that you're targeting and connecting with. Okay, I can move on now. Sorry.
I'm done. That's okay.
Okay, good. So, and then we have niche marketing. Similar concept with Facebook pages. Only instead of focusing on a community or a geographic area, again, it's back to your knowledge base. What is your expertise? And so we have women homeowners. This is a friend of mine, Ginny, who created a page to reach out to the independent women homeowners that she wants to connect with. She wants to provide tips and advice and connect with those types of buyers and sellers. And then we have, again, we've got Denver, mid-century modern home. So a highly niche particular expertise that you're reaching out to and connecting with, right?
That's exactly right. And as I look at this, I just wanted to point out that I think this graphic is well done because I get an instant sense of what the page is about.
Go ladies. Woo-hoo. All right. Oh, I love this one. So I'm asked a lot from a lot of my clients, oh, well, I just don't know about this whole ROI. Are people, am I really going to get leads? Am I really going to get business? And does it really happen? Well, in this day and age, where's the consumer going? They go online, but they go to their friends, the people they trust, to ask for recommendations and to ask for help about products and services. And so I just thought this was my own personal story of somebody that I actually connected with on Twitter, and we ended up creating a tweet-up group. So
I think this is worth exploring a little deeper because, I mean, so you met on Twitter, didn't know each other.
We didn't know each other. We just knew that we both liked Twitter, and we were both from Livermore, California.
So you started to talk about how you could find more people like you.
Mm-hmm.
And we created a tweet-up.
We created a tweet-up group.
Which is nothing more than a meet-up that's offline, mm-hmm. where we kind of geek out, and we do talk about Twitter a little bit, but it's really not about Twitter. It's just we have that similarity.
It was an opportunity to connect offline. And, you know, and it only started with about maybe 8 or 10 of us that showed up to that first tweet-up. But over time, our relationship grew, and we continued talking online, and we also occasionally met offline at our tweet-up group. And then
so one day, you know, Adam finds out that...
He was, at the time, pregnant with twins. Well, his wife was pregnant with twins. So, yeah. So he sent me a message, and he knew that I had that particular expertise of really being dialed in with real estate professionals in our local market. So the first thing that he did was think, oh, I'll contact Nicole because she'll know who I can work with.
Smells like social capital to me.
Mm-hmm. So that's the ROI. We have to nurture our network, and we have to be aware of the opportunities that are going to occur. And
you didn't ask for that. I mean, that's
no.
just, that was...
They didn't bombard him. I wasn't asking for referrals. I wasn't asking for anything. It came naturally. Ah, Twitter. I love Twitter. Tweet, tweet. But, you know, I have to say, a lot of people would definitely, from the get-go, it's a little confusing. We kind of all go through these stages, like, I don't know about... Even I poo-pooed Twitter, actually, for a long time. I just didn't really see why people would want to know if I was going to the bathroom or eating lunch or, you know, getting new wallpaper. And yes, I'm in line. I'm at Starbucks again. Uh-huh, here I am. But it's more than that. Twitter gives us the opportunity to connect with colleagues, with people in our local market, with other people very easily in real time to converse. It's a great business communication tool, and it's a trending tool. Where does news break?
On Twitter.
So if you want to find out what's happening nationally, locally, you can gauge that from Twitter. And I have to say, if you have a blog and you're going to the effort of creating content for your blog, Twitter is a no-brainer. It really works hand in hand to really promote because...
It's so true. I mean, BBT, blogs before Twitter, I'll tell you, we used to have to write the article and then just hope that people found it, right?
Blogs are a lonely place in the very beginning.
Now what we do is we create the blog post and then we share it on Twitter, maybe even using a hashtag, which creates a content stream for your tweets. And guess what? People see it and help you share it, mm-hmm. as long as it's resourceful or helping someone in some way or another,
yeah.
informational.
So Twitter is awesome for bloggers, but it's also awesome for connecting with your local market. But it's not going to happen just by signing up for Twitter and following Oprah and The Real Shack, you know.
Or going to your agent friend and following their followers.
That's not going to get you connected with the locals in your market area. But you can easily be found and find locals in your market if you use some tools.
Sounds expensive.
It's not expensive. It's free.
It's got to be difficult to use.
It's not difficult. All you have to do is go to local tweets and enter in. You literally press one button and sync your profile and then type in your zip code. And you list yourself. Local tweets is amazing because there are people out there, there are buyers that are looking for the right agent for them. And I have a great story. I have a friend who is a blogger in the Bay Area, and she listed herself on local tweets. And buyers found her there because they were out looking for an agent that was going to market their home the way they wanted that home to be marketed. They were Gen Xers.
We like to work with people that have similar interests.
Makes Imagine sense. That. Okay. So you want to be found. That's one way. You also want to actively find locals in your market area, right?
That's right. I mean, I spend a lot of time in Twitter search. You know, I'm the director of social media for RPR, Realtors Property Resource, and this tool for me is so valuable. I can query by any search term. I can even restrict certain keywords that I don't want to be in that search query. I can even restrict my search to a geographic area, say 5 miles around me, okay? That's when it gets really valuable.
Love it. Love it.
Now, one tip, though, if you're searching for, say, home buyers and stuff, take a step out of your mindset because you're probably going to use words that the consumer might not. For example, you know, you're going to talk about maybe homes for sale, whereas the consumer might use terms like house hunting.
Or you could even think about other aspects that an interested buyer would be looking or searching. Maybe the school boundaries for the Pleasanton Unified School District, right?
That's exactly right. Ah, I think we have a report on that for our PR.
I like how you work that in there. But also, you know, parks, names of the neighborhoods that you farm. If you actively search and find people talking about the neighborhoods that you work in, you can connect with them. Now, this probably seems like a little bit labor-intensive because you got to manually search and do all this. Is there an easier way to have those types of search queries actually delivered to you?
Well, there is. You know, there's the Twilert service.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like Google Alerts, right?
So proactive emails coming to you with search terms that you've programmed in as they happen?
Yeah.
That's got to be expensive.
It's free.
It's got to be hard to set up.
It's easy. It takes like 5 minutes. It's free. You set your keywords, and you have those tweets, people, actual locals that are talking about your market area, delivered to you once a day if you want.
What was the service again?
Twilerts. T-W-I-L-E-R-T-S. Twilerts. There's lots of them out there. If you just search Google Twitter alerts, they're definitely helpful. So Sphere. Let's get also connected with our Sphere on Twitter. I love Twitter because they do, like Facebook, give you some opportunities, some ways to connect. You can definitely search by name and search by email to find the people that are on your list. But there are other easy ways. In fact, Twitter has recently added a LinkedIn button, so you can click a button and find all the people that are already Twitter users that you're connected with on LinkedIn.
Oh, that's great. We're actually starting to take advantage of our other network influencers, and we're bringing them into Twitter.
Yeah, and you can also use webmail to connect again.
Same example we gave earlier. Maybe you're not the most organized, don't have the most detailed contact list, but you can actually mine your webmail for the emails you've sent to, and it automatically can import them.
Now, that's the first step, right? Getting connected with your sphere. The next step is staying top of mind. And, oh my gosh, I just love this. I love Hootsuite. Anyone out there using Hootsuite? Give me a hoot. Hoot, hoot. Uh-huh. I just love saying Hootlet and Hootsuite because it's just
really
so cute.
Does.
But it's actually as effective, as cute as it sounds, I think.
It allows you to take some of the traditional drip marketing strategies you've done and apply them to social media, right?
Yeah. Instead, you know, you've got your drip marketing campaign you might be using in print. This is real-time drip marketing. So here's how I use Hootsuite. You sign up. It's free. They do have a pro version, but honestly, the free version works just fine. You connect your Twitter account. You can actually use Hootsuite to schedule and deliver information out to your Twitter network. In fact, you can even schedule and deliver information out to other networks like Facebook. They've added Facebook, Facebook pages, LinkedIn. Not that I use Hootsuite to push out content all the time through all these channels.
That's right. You're not telling them to automate their Twitter presence.
No, I would never tell you to do that. I don't want to have the A for, you know, right on your auto DM or whatever. So here's what I do, is I'll sit down with I drink a lot of coffee. So
seeing a theme here.
Yeah. Well, we do have two kids, and they do have your energy. So I'm in trouble all the time. With using Hootsuite, you sign up, and on a Sunday morning, or whatever time frame is good for you, this is what I do. You probably all have your favorite sites that you turn to for great information online, right? Because we're consumers, we're online. Maybe we go to HGTV to look for great, curb appeal tips that we can share with our clients.
Maybe or Google Local News.
Google Local News. So what you do is, on a Sunday, definitely bookmark your favorite sites, and what you can do is go out to these favorite sites, and you can actually use Hootsuite to schedule and take those articles that are at your favorite sites and push them out to Twitter. So what you do is Hootsuite has that little owl up there, and what you do is you add that little owl to your browser so that when you visit one of those sites, you click on the owl, and bam, this little window pops up, and it will take the article that you're reading, and it will pull in the actual title for you. It will take the long garbly gook URL that's associated with that article and shrink it down and make it trackable. So now you've got this great little tweet all ready to go. You can even modify it and change the keywords, and then you can use the scheduler to drip that information out. So maybe I schedule on a Monday, I'll schedule three drip you know, tweets to go out. So one maybe in the morning, one around lunchtime, one in the afternoon or evening. And then I'll do that for Tuesday and for Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Maybe I schedule 15 tweets for my real-time drip campaign for the week. That way, I'm consistently staying top of mind with my sphere.
Now, you don't stop there, though, because that wouldn't be enough alone, right?
No, now, I'm not just going to broadcast.
Now what do you do?
So I'm going to also be listening. So I want to be out interfacing with my clients, so I'm going to make sure that I have my smartphone ready to go, and I'm going to look at those replies, the interactions that are happening around the content that I'm sharing, and making sure that if somebody finds a resource that's helpful and says thank you or has a question, that I'm there to respond, you know, when I'm standing in line at Starbucks usually, or that as things happen throughout my day that are interesting, I can also share and supplement the real-time drip campaign with spontaneous things that happen throughout my day. So I can meld both the professional and the personality with all that.
And one other thing I want to clarify, I see up here on this Hootsuite that we can send to Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and all that, but do we recommend that you just send the same communication out to every network?
I think they know that now. They know. No, we don't want to do that.
No, because they move at different paces.
Yes, we want to repurpose content. Okay. And then just to really quickly touch on niche marketing, it's very similar, but instead of, you know, maybe focusing on geographic or sphere, you know, you want to be able to, yeah, you'll find great articles to maybe share throughout your drip campaign, but you all have that knowledge base to draw upon. You all have tips and things that you can offer your existing network, so make sure you share that. It's as simple as that, whatever your expertise is. So, and now really quickly, I did want to touch on this too, because again, it's not just about going to the bathroom or, you know, we ask questions of our network, right? We want to know. We want to get recommendations. So really quickly, I wanted to see if people really do ask, you know, does anyone know a good real estate agent? And quickly I found that somebody had asked for that. But then I asked my network, I polled my own network of real estate agents, and I said, does this work for you? Are you getting leads? Is this a valuable channel for you? And within just a few minutes, I had three agents let me know that they had just listed a home from a recently posting relevant, helpful information. And that down here at the bottom, Crystal, she had builders contact her to discuss listing their homes because she was one of the only people in her area on Twitter using that channel.
That's so important. And something I want to point out, that very top tweet up there, you can see the bold area. That's what she searched. And, I mean, are we searching once and then walking away? Are we doing this on a regular basis?
You can search on a regular basis for whatever keywords, again, using that Twilerts.
That's right. We never know when the conversation's going to happen, so we want to keep coming back or using those automated email proactive services.
LinkedIn. So it's a little bit different. LinkedIn, how many of you have profiles on LinkedIn? It's awesome.
Wow, that's good. That was almost more than Facebook.
It's kind of a no-brainer, really, but it's definitely a different, different channel, different mode. It's not quite as social as the rest of the channels that we've mentioned, and I do admit I don't spend quite as much time at LinkedIn, but it's a perfect place to hang your professional profile and to really provide a home base to showcase your expertise. There are some great features for creating groups and using Q&A, but of course, you want to pick the channel that matches your strengths and your personality. But there is one extremely valuable tool that you, every agent, really should be taking advantage of. And that's really the recommendation feature, right?
Now, let's think about social capital in this scenario. If we get into LinkedIn, do we just blast out to our network and say, hey, give me a recommendation? I think the better thing to do would be,
well, talk to your clients. When your clients come to you and say, oh my gosh, thank you, I never thought I'd get through the short sale, what can I do? Well, connect with me on LinkedIn, and could you provide me a recommendation there? Because it'll come from the heart. It will come from them. And so it's a great place to really showcase your expertise, have happy clients give you recommendations here. And
remember that you, too, can help your network by giving them recommendations when you have great service or a great experience with someone.
And I think that's actually the best way to start is by giving some, right?
That's right.
And then hoping that, obviously, you'll get some
as well.
But
don't expect.
And probably one of my favorite channels out there. Well, because I have a channel there, you know. I love YouTube. It's the second largest search engine on the planet. It's got some love there. And there's a great opportunity to really connect with your sphere using video. Video tells a story, it elicits an emotion, and let's face it, buying and selling homes is an emotional decision. So there's a lot of different ways that you can utilize YouTube in your business. It doesn't have to be like, you know, your colleague uses it.
That's right.
So let's start with geographic marketing. We have a friend,
Doug,
who he's a go-getter. He focuses on 12 farm areas, 12 neighborhoods in the area that we live in.
Now, Doug's been doing this since 2005, so I mean, he's taken time to build up to all of these.
But what he's done is use video to go around the neighborhood, to not just drive around and look at the homes in the neighborhood, but again, video the community, check out the local businesses, showcase the parks and the schools and features of the community. And so he's organized this so that you can search by his channel by the particular neighborhood and learn all about the neighborhood.
I love the homeowner interviews where he talks to people about what makes the neighborhood special, because it seems so authentic when it comes from real folks that live in the area, you know, and they bring out their tips and strategies for time with the kids.
Now, I like following your passion a little bit. I think if you can meld your passion into what you do, you're going to have a lot of fun. Obviously, I have a passion for dance a little bit, yeah. And so Fiona, she actually has a passion for cycling. And so what she's done is take her expertise, her real estate expertise, melded it with her passion. So she offers cycling tours, cycling neighborhood tours. Yeah, it might sound crazy to you, but to her, it sounds like a great idea, because what she does is she connects with her neighborhood. She lets people know, hey, if we're going to take a tour of this XYZ neighborhood this weekend, bring your bike. She actually puts a camera on the bike, too. And they have a great time, and she posts her tours, and she also promotes her tours on her channel as well.
Now, I just want to say, if any of you start snowboarding cabin tours, call me.
You would.
Just saying.
All right. Okay. And then sphere marketing with video. And I like what Dennis is doing, because, you know, he's got an opportunity to really, he lets his sphere ask him numerous questions about real estate, and he answers each one of those, right?
That's right. It's kind of following the blog example we gave earlier, where we get the question and we answer it, just using video this time, right?
Exactly.
So some synergies, hub and spoke, it's all making sense.
And if he doesn't know, he gets some help from people that he does.
That's very important. Because you don't want to go out here and give advice that you're not the expert in, right?
Yeah, so call upon the people that you work with, whether it's a real estate lawyer or a particular mortgage or lender or whatever. All right, we're kind of winding down for you. We're going to let you go soon, but not before we do the drawing. We just want to say that we've shared a lot of different strategies in a variety of channels, but that doesn't mean that what you choose to do is going to look like your channels and your strategy. So we want you to encourage you to, again, take those two steps that we mentioned earlier. Really assess what's working for you, okay? What strategy makes sense for you. Take that strategy and apply it in one new channel. You can definitely...
Sure, more if you want, but one is good. Start there.
Yeah, so here we've definitely, I think today, if you'll agree with us, I think we've mixed the old with the new, and that would be the evolution of real estate marketing. Now we have 10 quick bonus tips. If you're going to leave here and you're getting ready to implement a strategy that you've used into a new channel, we want to give you a couple of guidelines. And so we have 10 rules of new marketing. And just really quickly, we're going to go over these, starting with creating a daily engagement plan. And that's really the tasks that you're going to do. Maybe you have 5 tasks, a list, but the 5 tasks that you're going to do every day inside of Facebook, the 5 tasks that you're going to do associated with your blog or with whatever channel that you choose to do.
You mean engaging once a month in Facebook isn't enough?
No, it's not going to cut it. Sorry, honey. It's nothing worse than a dormant profile, right?
She's been training me on number 2 for about 12 years now.
13 almost,
okay,
actually.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
See? So be an active listener. Listen to your network. It's amazing what you're going to get back.
What are some listening tools that we can use?
Well, some of my favorite, I mean, we've talked about some today, but we've got different search tools inside Facebook, Twitter. You've got different, you know, alerting services. You pick what works.
And then we've got number 3, be the best possible you.
Very important.
Just be you online. Of course, you know, You have a good analogy. You know, you put on a suit when you go, or you want to look presentable, like today. I didn't want to just wear my pajamas, although I would have been more comfortable, but, you know, I wanted to dress up for you folks today. And so I think when you're online, you want to carry that same persona. You want to be the best possible you that you can be, right?
Very important.
Number 4.
Online is forever. Some people have learned this the hard way.
Yes, they have. So, you know, if you're... I love a friend of ours online, Unmarketing. He's that's his Twitter handle, but he has an analogy. If your mom's driving down the highway and there's a billboard up and you don't want your mom to see or hear something that you've posted, then you need to think twice about it.
That's,
you know?
Right.
Number 5.
Share relevant information.
I think that's pretty, you know.
Self-explanatory.
Number 6, be consistent. So that real-time drip. If you can set up a plan for yourself and be consistent with whatever channel and strategy that you choose, you're going to find that you'll have greater success staying top of mind. And obviously, Hootsuite can help you with that, among other things.
That's right. Number 7, target conversations with your strategic engagement.
So that's really, again, making sure that you set up lists. So you can set up lists on Twitter. You can set up your lists inside Facebook. And really think about targeting the conversations that you're having online. Targeting your interactions with the people that you're connecting with on a regular basis. Number 8, probably one of my favorites. Balance those 3 P's. It doesn't have to all be about your work all the time. People will get to know you and relate to you as a person. They'll want to know what your favorite hobbies are. We relate to your passions, your interests. So you want to make sure that you balance that on your profiles. You balance that in what you share. So you want to share, yes, your profession. You want to also share your personality and your passions, the things that interest you. Because let's face it, we like working with people that are similar, huh?
We should have injected some personality into this presentation.
Yeah, I don't think we brought enough, really.
You know, I bet you every one of you today has realized number 9, or at this conference, because when you take the online offline, that's when the real bond happens, right? How many of you met somebody today for the first time that you've talked with before?
I know I have.
That's right. Yeah. That's what happens in these settings. So take your online network offline whenever you have the opportunity. Create a meetup scenario. Yeah. There are sites like Meetup that where you can actually find local groups that are getting together with similar topics.
And as you're relating to people, there will be that opportunity to say, let's go get some coffee. You just have to be aware of that opportunity. And then last but not least, what you're really good at is measuring and adjusting.
That's right. I mean, we've got different analytical tools in every one of these networks, whether it's our, you know, Google Analytics or, you know, Facebook Insights. But what you want to do is you want to see what's working and understand what's not working and make adjustments as you go through this process. Okay? You might not get it right the first time. Learn from your mistakes.
I love that. Thankfully, we have things like Facebook Insights. Even Hootsuite has great stats. You can
find
out.
Yeah, the short URLs.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a number of great tools out there. And I guess this pretty much wraps it up. We're going to do a drawing in a second. But first, we want to say, you guys rock.
Woo-hoo!
For being here. Thank you for being here today with us. If you have more questions about what we talked about or anything like that today, please feel free to connect with us. And if you have, if any of you do have, hey, go, you can jump. Go jump down there. I think there's a few more.
Yeah,
we got
you.
A couple other people
I didn't
that
know
came
what I was
in.
Doing
we
want
to make sure that, you know, we're going to do give away some.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was my fault. Okay.
So we're going to give out 2 ZI-8 video cameras from Kodak. So here's how it's going to work. I have a number of cards in here, and I'm going to pull out 2. If I call your name, would you please come down? I'm going to give you a special card, and you'll be able to go walk over to the Kodak booth today and pick up your ZI-8 video camera, which is awesome camera for really being able to, you know, capture those moments.
Guys.
And I have to say, there's nothing more exciting about, you know, video. You don't have to have it super produced. In fact, there's an authenticity that comes along when you just, you know, shoot from the hip, I have to say. Shoot from the hip. Yes. I would say it's better. My kids now own my flip cameras because I've upgraded to the ZI-8 only because it's a 1080p, so you better HD quality. And also, sorry, it's got an audio port, so the audio is actually much more improved from the flip camera.
Thank you.
It's not to say the flip isn't great.
The flip
definitely works. It will definitely do the job for you.
Thanks.
But my kids like it now.
Do we do it?
I think my son thinks that he's going to be like the next winner on America's Funniest Home Videos. He keeps hiding in boxes and surprising us.
It's good to see you. Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
We'll make sure our presentation's on SlideShare.
Thanks. Oh my goodness. This bag's getting heavy. All right.
All right, you have to be present to win. Come
okay.
on.
Now dig deep.
Get those legs, skinny legs moving up here.
Dig deep. Come on.
I'm gonna dig deep. All right, here we go. I'm digging in there. And the first winner is Carolyn Dillon.
Woo!
Make sure you come up after. That's right. We're all building some social capital. We're clapping for our winners here. And one more. I'm really digging. Oh, Callie Dalton. Are you here? Ooh, ooh. Well, thank you. And I will say tomorrow, I'm actually going to be sharing some mobile tools. If you're in the expo today and you want to come and chat with me and learn about Mobile Mojo at 2:00 at the NAR booth. And then Reggie and I will be talking about WordPress tomorrow morning at 10:15. So just in case. Thanks for coming,
everyone.
Everybody.